Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back. We got a big hour ahead. The hot seat's coming up. Brandon Lee Gowd, who made the single greatest prediction in the history of this show, will be on to take a bow at 9:20. Mm-hmm. Not a long conversation, Al. Just gushing for, we are all going to tell. He predicted a tie.
That's amazing.
And he was correct. And if he had bet on it, he could no longer have to work.
Can you bet on it?
Yeah, Pete Jones says there are, Josie, yeah. You get monster odds on that, right?
Incredibly big odds. Man. You can bet for a tie.
Right. And we had heard that, by the way, the report I gave it was erroneous. He did not purchase a villa in Dubai. He is still here in the city, and we will talk to him shortly. But on the line with us right now, we also got Arsene Arnie coming up. Oh, that's going to be precious. But first, ladies and gentlemen, a true expert who understands this city, the great Ross Tucker is with us, a football expert. Hi, Ross.
Angelo, what's up?
All right, Ross, I want to start. I need insight into Matt Pryor. You are trying a 59-yard field goal to beat an awful Bengals team. All the guy has to do is stand there, and he was unable to do it. You have served in that role, correct, Ross?
That is correct.
All right. How difficult is it for him to stand there for a few seconds till they snap the ball?
It's not that difficult. I think what you're seeing is why the Eagles have essentially put anyone else they can in the lineup ahead of Matt Pryor. I think he struggles. I think he struggles mentally. You know, I see way too many plays where I'm not sure he's blocking the right guy and or Jason Kelce's talking with him after the play. I think that's Matt's biggest issue. He's definitely got some positives as well. What happened is, Angelo, right before the snap, the Bengals shifted the line in front of them. They do that on purpose to try to get exactly what they got, which is the 5-yard penalty, which knocked the Eagles out of field goal position. Look, it's a critical error. I bet Matt did not sleep very much last night. I've been in that situation in terms of feeling like you cost the team the game, and that's a tough one for him.
All right, now let's talk about what happened next. Now it's 4th and 12. There's 19 seconds to go. The Eagles are at the Cincinnati 46-yard line. Is it even a possible – is it even a consideration, Ross, to punt and take a tie? Is that a possibility in your head?
I think it is a consideration. I think – let's start with the field goal, right? They obviously did not think that Elliott could make it from there.
Correct.
I mean, if they thought he could make it from there, they would have tried it. You know what's weird, Angelo? I got to be honest with you. When that was going on, I was kind of trying to figure out in my head – what they should do here. Everything was happening quickly. But I did remember thinking, man, if they kick a field goal here and don't make it, or if they go for it and don't get it, it gives the Bengals a pretty good chance to get a field goal themselves. That was my thought. I didn't despise the decision to punt it. And then guess what happened? Last night I started doing the math.
Yeah.
After the game I started doing the math, started thinking about it, and I thought, oh, my gosh, they should have gone for it. I mean, I don't think they should have kicked a field goal, but it should have been some type of sprint out or roll out with Wentz, throw the ball down the field, maybe get a catch, maybe you get a pass interference. Really, worst-case scenario, the Bengals get the ball at their own 46 with probably 10 or 11 seconds left, and then maybe they have a chance to make one throw, get out of bounds. So, you know, it's weird. I didn't think it was the worst. I know everybody was killing Doug for it, and I get it. But when I was in the moment, I was like, man, if they don't get it, they're going to give the Bengals a great chance to win the game. It really would not have been a great chance for the Bengals to win the game. I think that they should have gone for it.
Well, Doug was on about an hour ago, Ross, and he said that he would not have done what he did yesterday if he had another chance. He would have gone for it on 4th and 12 for all the reasons you just described. So he now is on the record saying he made the wrong decision. But here's the problem. You grew up here. There's no circumstance where you go for a tie in Philadelphia. You understand? That's the biggest thing. You can't do it. If there were fans in the stands, Ross, they would have made it abundantly clear you don't go for a tie in the city of Philadelphia. Are you with me?
1,000%.
Thank you.
Look, I grew up an Eagles fan. Here's the deal. Eagles fans, pretty much every single one of them that I know, they would have rather lost trying to win than punted away and feel like they weren't trying to win. I know them. I mean, my buddies were all texting at the moment. They're like, you got to try to win. I really think that is the mentality. Now, in fairness, Angelo, I don't know. I mean, maybe 15 weeks from now, if the Eagles get their you-know-what together and they end up playing the Cowboys – to win the division, and that tie ends up being the difference, maybe we'll all feel differently. But certainly yesterday and certainly in the moment, it didn't feel right. I mean, it's so funny because, you know, Angela, I have this podcast, right, the Ross Tucker podcast, and international listeners are always like, what's so bad about a draw? What's so bad about a tie? I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, so here's the thing. All I know is this. When you tie – everybody feels like they lost.
Yes.
The mission is to win the game. When you tie, nobody gets the good feeling, the happy feeling.
There it is.
Nobody achieved their mission. I don't understand why every other country is wrong and we are right on this one.
Yeah, 100%. All right, now here's the next thing I need to figure out. You could help me with. How does a guy with 2 games of NFL experience behind his belt, Joe Burrow, look so much better than a guy with 5 years of experience behind his belt? I don't get that. How did what's going on with Wentz, and why does every other quarterback look better than him?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know, but it's scary. It's you know, you think about the Eagles start and everything going on, it's by far the worst part of this, right? Because he's never been a guy that threw picks, and now he's thrown 6. And what's weird, Angelo, is he looks to me like he's almost in his own head a little bit now. I mean, I'm really worried about him because the first couple games, it's like he's trying to force things, trying to do too much. I don't know if that's because they drafted Hurts or I don't know what it was, right? But the first couple games, it was like he was trying to force things. Now this game, it looked to me almost like he was gun-shy at times. I just think he needs a reset mentally. I will say this, though. I'm going to give him a lot of credit for that kid's got guts, man. I mean, that, you know, the amount of times he ran, running dudes over for the first down on that end of regulation drive, diving into the end zone. I know nobody wants to hear this because they tied whatever we're calling it, loss, whatever. And the throw he made to Ertz, that was his best throw of the season that he made to Ertz over that. So he's got guts. He's got heart. He's just not playing well enough.
All right, hold on. Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up that throw because I played it earlier. It was absolutely exquisite throw and a great catch, totally covered, and he hit him 30 yards down the field. How can that happen? And then Miles Sanders is nobody near him. Nobody, Ross. He overthrows him by 10 yards. Explain how the same guy can make those two plays.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't? You're my football expert.
I mean, look, I played offensive line. I don't know. You got here's the best explanation I can give you, Angelo. I played high school basketball.
Yeah.
Man, there were some games where I was money. There were some games where I couldn't make a shot. I don't know why he is so inconsistent right now throwing the ball, but it's the biggest reason. It's the single biggest reason. You know me, Angelo.
Yep.
We've been doing this for a bunch of years now. I am never blame the quarterback, blame the head coach guy. I know that all everybody ever wants to do is blame the head coach, blame the quarterback. I think this year, now look, they've got issues on defense and they got injuries and blah, blah, blah. But I think this year it is fair to place a lot of the blame. I think the biggest blame goes to Carson Wentz so far this year. And I think secondly is probably the coaching in general.
Yep.
Because it just doesn't seem like they've gotten the edge in the coaching matchup so far in these three games.
So leads to my last question. Is this the kind of season that is so bad that heads will need to roll at the end of it?
I certainly hope not, and I would not do that. I think that both Wentz and Peterson have done enough that I would at least give them into next year. You know, you think about, like, the Giants were about to do that with Tom Coughlin a couple times, and maybe even Eli Manning, and they stuck with them, and they won that other Super Bowl. I think about, like, the Steelers. Steelers have had those years with Cowher or Tomlin where they went 7-9 or they had a bad year, and they stuck with it. I think that they've made the playoffs the last 3 years. I think, and look, we're getting way ahead of ourselves right now, but they made the playoffs the last 3 years. I don't think, almost no matter how bad it is, and it won't be that bad, by the way, because the Giants and Washingtons are horrendous.
Yeah.
I mean, horrendous. So I don't think it'll get to that point, but I don't think that would be the right move. I think essentially what would happen, Angelo, is that probably the coach and the quarterback would both be, I don't want to say on thin ice, but certainly on watch, on the hot seat going into next year, but I would not make that move after this season, no.
Ross Tucker, ladies and gentlemen. Ross, always a pleasure and an honor, my friend. Be well. We'll talk soon. Right. That's Ross Tucker right now. Now, I want to set this call up because he came on last week. We were all in pretty bad spirits.
Yes, we were.
Maybe not as bad as this, but pretty bad. And he did a pep talk that was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Austin Arnie, and he said he would never lose faith. And that everything would be fine. And all I could think of as the punt team went on the field was that Austin Arnie, one of the toughest guys I've ever known, has overcome so much in his life, including brain surgery, that Arnie would be going berserk. Let's find out. He's on the line right now. Hi, Arnie.
Hey, brother. What's going on? Yeah, you know, I heard you Friday. I even heard you asking for me.
Yep.
I was just in a position where I couldn't call you. I was
no
at a
problem.
Veterinarian doctor. So.
No problem. You heard I played you. It was inspiring, but Arnie, they did not deliver on your optimism.
They stunk. I mean, come on, man. It doesn't help that Nick Foles came in on relief in Chicago and became the second coming of Joe friggin' Montana.
Yep.
That don't help. You look at the schedule in August, and this is a game where you say, oh, easy win. Other cities are now looking at their schedule, seeing Philly and saying easy win. We're not a good team. I mean, I look for reasons to think we're going to go 16-0. And I'm watching this team. You know, they showed a stat during the game that if you're 0-3, the odds of making the playoffs are 2.7%. And the last time we went into week four without a win, it was a different century.
We're not 0-3, Arnie. We tied.
Yeah.
The freak out of here, man.
3.8%.
Arnie has, Al, he's not even accepting the tie. He's putting it in the loss column.
You know what? At the end of the year, if we get in the playoffs because of that, then great. But you don't play to tie.
There it is.
You play the game, like Herb said, you play to win.
Hello? You play to win the game.
He's showing me under pressure he may make the wrong decisions. That ain't what I want to hear from a head coach.
Hey, you did not like that he admitted he
I
made
don't
want to
hear
decision.
My head coach say the next day, yeah, I was right. You lie and you stick by your decision.
No, that's
Now we're going to second guess the coach.
Jonesy, say something. Do you advocate lying, Jonesy?
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes,
I lied. I don't.
Yes.
No.
We have got to turn this thing around or they're going to start falling apart.
But you're not quitting.
Never.
Never.
I let me tell you something. Today it sucks. Tomorrow it'll get better. By Wednesday I'll start looking at the next game. And by Thursday, it's like clockwork. I will convince myself, we could take them. They ain't no name. We're playing the 49ers this week. They are a decent team. Their backups are substantially better than ours. Our team has so many holes. We drafted a quarterback in the second round when we have a pathetic offensive line. It is a friggin' joke.
Very well. Arnie, all I want to say is the people have been listening to a man who spit in the eye of the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
Right, Jim? Arnie?
Yes, I did,
The Grim Reaper said, I'm taking you with us, and he said, screw you.
I told him, go take lunch somewhere else because it ain't happening here and not today. I got a couple Super Bowls I need to win first.
Ha-ha! That's the man! Arnie, you're the best, brother!
I'll call again during the weekend. I'm too depressed right now.
Thank you, my friend.
You sounded pretty positive, actually.
Actually, he's one of the more positive of the callers.
Yeah.
Even though he will also rip people. Yeah. So that's what I like about him. All right, I got Lamont is on the line now. I don't know what I should do with him. The Cowboys lost.
They did, but
Will of God, Dave, Kevin, Matt. Lots of great callers coming up. Jared, TR. Don't go anywhere, guys. Lots more. When we come back, though, I will play for you the single greatest prediction ever made on this show. And we will bring on to take a bow the man who made it, Brandon Lee Gouten of Bleeding Green Nation. That's next. WIP Sports Time 916.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.